You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set.
Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, all of my upcoming show dates, videos of my stand-up comedy, and my contact information. If you're looking for a comedian for your next event, please reach out to me. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a good review. Please subscribe to it. There'll be a new episode for you guys every single Wednesday. Thank you so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, episode 15. This week, my buddy Mark and I go back to the Game Boy, and we look at Link's Awakening. For my money, this is the most overlooked and underrated Zelda game of all time. I don't know if it's possible to underrate a Zelda game, but this one kind of gets forgot about sometimes, I think, when people talk, you know, Ocarina and Link's Awakening, or pardon me, Link's Link to the Past, and Breath of the Wild and all that. Link's Awakening was a fucking good game, man, especially for what it was on as far as a platform goes and the hardware limitations it had. I'm not going to waste a lot of time in this intro. I'm going to get right into the conversation with Mark. I just wanted to quickly say my download numbers have exploded over the last like week and a half. And when I say exploded, they're still not world-beating numbers, but they're way better than anything I expected. And I know a lot of you have been sharing the podcast and telling your friends about it. People have been reaching out to me. So if you've been doing that, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it, and we're going to keep this thing going. And hopefully the numbers just keep going in the same direction. So thank all of you for supporting it. Anyone that's come on the show, anyone that just enjoys listening to it, it really means a lot to me when you guys reach out to me. And I have a lot of fun doing this show, so I appreciate that you guys enjoy it as well. With that said, let's talk some Zelda. My buddy Mark and I are going to nerd out on the old Game Boy with Link's Awakening, guys. Here we go. Okay, Link's Awakening. I feel like Link's Awakening is often like the forgotten redheaded stepchild of the Zelda family. I don't think it gets the love because it was handheld, right? And I don't think it gets talked about as much as all the console ones, because it doesn't. Like, if I was sitting here listing off my favorite Zelda games, it wouldn't pop into my head, at least initially. Like, when you and I started talking about doing the, because you were one of my first guests ever on this show, and we did Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time, and we were talking about doing other Zelda games, I totally forgot all about Link's Awakening. It just gets forgotten.
It's one of those ones that, like, it kind of slips through a little bit.
I don't know about yourself, like for my, I don't think it should, because it would easily make my five favorite Zelda games, and it Breath of the Wild bumped it out of my three favorite Zelda games.
Okay.
But it was right there, though.
It was pretty up, yeah.
Like, I love that game, man.
It's notable for being, like, it's the first handheld Zelda game.
Yeah.
And it actually began its life. They were trying to port Link to the Past to the Game Boy.
Right.
And in doing this, they were like, why don't we just make another game?
Which is, like, and at its time, especially, like, when it first came out, like, to have a game as good as, like, a quality Zelda game that didn't look like the NES Zelda either. Like, because they could have done that. Like, did you play the first Mario Brothers on the Game Boy?
Yeah.
It was a fucking ugly game.
It wasn't a great looking game.
No, and that's all they really had to do with a Zelda game, but they made a really good looking, like, for my money, it's the best looking Game Boy game. The original Game Boy.
And it had, like, kind of its spirit of its own, especially if you bought, like, the deluxe version on the color.
Yeah.
That was the version that I'm the most familiar with.
Me too. That was
the extra, like, color dungeon or whatever they do.
Yeah. It was, like, it handled great. It was, like, the graphics looked good. It wasn't hard to tell what was going on. Like, they packed a lot onto that tiny little screen.
Well, and it was exactly like what we're talking about with Pokemon. It was such an ambitious game for the hardware, considering that the Game Boy was designed to play Tetris.
Right. Yeah.
It was ambitious. It was a little bit too ambitious at times, though, I felt, because it had the two buttons, and you were always having to switch back and forth between your inventory.
Like, yeah.
To the point where it was game-breaking in parts.
It was annoying. Like, to constantly, because, like, and that was the other thing, is, like, you could go without a sword. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just unequip your sword. You could have a boomerang and the feather and just be jumping and whipping this boomerang around, which was crazy.
Like, and there was times that, like, you would have to have, like, two specific items equipped to solve certain puzzles. Like, you'd have to, like, run and then jump over a pit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the boots, the dash boots and then jump. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know how they, like, that was clearly them just trying to work around the restraints of the, like, they had two buttons to play with. Because select and start were useless, right? So realistically, you have no shoulder buttons. You don't have X and Y. You have two buttons.
Yeah.
And you need to give them a sword and a shield and the ability to do all these other things.
And it's super impressive that they managed to kind of pull it off.
I agree with that. And, like, it's easy because you're right. It is borderline game breaking. I wouldn't call it so much game breaking as it's, like, a very big nuisance to constantly be like, bring up the menu, change the item. Yeah. But I can't think of a better way to work around it.
But in some cases, it's like, oh, well, like the power bracelet in Link to the Past, that was, or like the mitts, they were just a thing you had now, and you could now just pick up those rocks.
Whereas anytime,
like, in Link's Awakening, the power bracelet was an equipable item.
Sure.
So you would, like, if you come across those rocks, you have to go to the screen, equip the thing, pick up the rocks, whereas they could have just been like, oh, you just have that, and you can pick up those rocks now.
Right. But again, though, I think the problem with that was, like, well, okay, so we assign... Yeah, I mean, because I was going to say, on one hand, they're like, okay, so let's say A picks up rocks. They're like, well, if we assign A to pick up rocks, then A can't do anything else. But it's like, it can, then you just make it, if you're walking into a rock and push it, then it picks stuff up. Otherwise, it doesn't.
It's like when you walk up to, like, talk to a person, A is still to talk.
Exactly,
to
and you could have done that with picking stuff up. But that's just nitpicking. Like, still,
it is a little nitpicky, and it's like...
For what they fit, and, like, the other, like, not only did they fit, like, a competent game that looks nice onto that system, but it's, like, it's a long game. It's not a fucking five-hour... squished Zelda.
No, they have, like, and it's what I like so much about Link's Awakening is it was the first really dark Zelda game. Like, it was the first Zelda game to really tackle, like, some dark issues.
Right.
Like, halfway, spoiler alert for anybody who's not familiar with the game, about halfway through this game, like, at the beginning of this game, you wake up on this island, and they're like, oh, to get off, you gotta go wake the windfish.
Yeah.
So he goes off on this quest to find these instruments to wake the windfish, and about halfway through, you learn that if you wake the windfish successfully, it's going to erase, like, the entire island.
Yeah.
Like, because the island only exists in the dream of this fish.
Yeah.
So Link does a genocide at the end of this game a little bit.
Link's kind of a piece of shit.
A little bit.
Actually. Yeah, I forgot
about
that. And
then the game ends with you waking the windfish and the island disappearing and you just floating away on a piece of wood. And then it's credits and it's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of weird because, like, there was no, like, Zelda. There's no any, you know what I mean? There's no Ganon. There's no Zelda. There's none of, it's kind of like the Mario Brothers 2 of, I mean, I guess you could argue Zelda 2 is the Mario Brothers 2 of Zelda. But, like, it is in the sense of, like, it's a weird different world. None of the regulars are there. You know what I mean? Like, it was, there's actually some Nintendo. Like, there's Goombas in it. There's Chain Chomps in it. Like,
well, and there's actually a lot of, like, and the interesting thing about it is they have, like, Shy Guys, and they have, like, they have characters in there from the Mario series that were introduced either in, like, Mario Brothers 2, which was a dream,
yeah.
or they have Kirby in there as an enemy randomly from Kirby's Dream Land.
Yeah.
Because these all existed in dreams.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I forgot about that. It's a cool game. Like, I wouldn't even call it necessarily a criticism of Zelda, but just a lot of Zelda games follow the formula. It's the, you know what I mean? Like, it's get the Master Sword, get the 7 or 8 or whatever's, and then
get
go
the
and
three
fight.
Things, yeah. then get the Master Sword, then yeah. go 4 more things, and then a final thing.
And then you and fight then... Ganon. And it was cool to change it up, and you give it to you portably. I love the look of it. Like, Link to the Past is my favorite Zelda game, as I've said mm-hmm. many times. But, like, and to me, Link's Awakening looks like, it's like you said, if they were trying to make a portable version of Link to the Past, it's got that look. I love the look of the game. I do like the controls outside of the having to switch items in and out, which I don't really know if there was a way to work around that. And it's a big game. Like, in addition to the 8 fortress or temples, whatever you want, shrines, whatever you want to call them, where you got to go and find the eight instruments. There's lots of little side quests. There's like the trading game.
The trading game is fun, where you get like the boomerang.
Yeah,
and then the boomerang turns out is just like it's a weapon that fucks. Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah. I love it, and I love that like I think it was completely optional.
Yeah,
yeah. You didn't have to get it.
No, you didn't.
But it was so cool that like. You're just walking from scene to scene to scene, that's another thing I really like about some of those old Zelda games, is where it's just like you walk to the edge of the screen and then it like shifts up to the next mm-hmm. one, and then it shifts up to the next one. And then when you look at the map on Link's Awakening, it is like little grids. Mm-hmm. And so it's so easy to keep track of like, oh yeah, that was in that grid. That was in that grid. You know what I mean?
Or like to get there, I have to go like 3 up and then 2 over.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that. And like the shifting. And there's a ton of shifting. And it was so cool when you'd walk into one and see someone and talk to them and they're looking for an item. And right away, you know they're part of the trading game.
Yeah.
But you don't have the item they need
yet. You don't have
the
item yet. But then later, you get the item and you're like, oh, right.
Yeah.
That guy from that place said he was looking for such and such.
Yeah. I thought that was a really, really cool touch and a really cool little extra thing. I like some of like the little games. Games you can play, like the arrow shooting and stuff like that. It was I feel like that game far more than like, so I don't know when this one will go up, but Mark and I just recorded one about Pokemon, and as fun as Pokemon Red and Blue are, like obviously there are infinitely better Pokemon games now.
Yeah.
Whereas I still feel like you could put Link's Awakening up against most 2D Zelda games and it'll hold its own.
Yeah, well it's miraculous that they managed to capture like the spirit of Zelda in that little cartridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And on that shitty little screen.
Oh, such a shitty little screen. And it wasn't hard to see. And like, I agree with you.
And everything was in puke green for some reason.
Yeah.
And it still worked.
And because I was the same as you. I played the color version mm-hmm. mostly. But I have seen clips of the original version. And yeah, it's not hard to tell what's going on for the most part, which is pretty fucking impressive, man.
And there's like, and then there's the cool, like, and then as you mentioned, like the cool mini games and the cameos, like the crane game where you have to get the Yoshi doll.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Yoshi doll.
Did you ever shoplift from the store, from like the store?
No.
Did you know you could do that?
No.
You pick up like an item from like the shop, and then you like walk around the shopkeep, and then you walk out. And you just get, and then the text thing is like, so you got a thing without paying for it. Do you like that? Do you feel good about yourself?
Really?
And you just get the item. But if you ever go back to the store, the clerk will kill you.
Wow.
And then your name on like the title screen is Thief.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. I never knew that.
You never knew
that. That's fucking awesome.
One of the cool little like. I don't know if it was a secret because like you could pick up the things in the store. And
sure.
And like if you try to get out and the clerk is looking at you, he'll be like, yo, get the fuck back here and pay for your shit.
That's awesome. Wow. What a cool little touch.
But if you can walk out while the clerk's back is turned, you have just like walk around him to distract him for a second and then run out.
I love those little nods in Zelda games. It's like in Link's to the Past, where you beat up the chicken and then all the chickens attack you. And like in this one, if you steal, you're a thief. Like that's so cool. Just the Nintendo thinks to those little things.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
I actually first played this game on the, do you remember on the GameCube, there was like the Game Boy Player?
Yeah. The thing that screwed onto the bottom.
Yeah. So in order to save in Link's Awakening, you have to like hit a bunch of like random.
Yeah, you had to push like select start.
And
something.
it wasn't an option on the GameCube.
Oh.
So what I would do to save is I would just go to the store, steal something, have the clerk kill me for it, and then it would be like, oh, and you now you have the option to save.
Oh, that's a little game-breaking thing, hey? It was such a weird saving system. Yeah, I forgot about... How's it not just, like, start, like, pause, and then just pick save and quit?
I don't know.
You had to push, like, 8 buttons. There's only 4 buttons on the system, but you had to push, like, fucking all of them and hold it at a 45-degree angle in the sun to fucking save. Like, it was like the weirdest save system. I forgot
all
about
that.
You
have to do a little dance. Yeah. It's weird.
I forgot all about that. Fuck. And then another thing it had was the seashells. Do you remember that? You had to like...
Oh, yeah, and they can upgrade your sword.
Yeah, you had to like... I don't think I ever got all of them.
No.
And I never knew what they did.
And I'll never get all of them.
No, but you had to like... They were everywhere, and then you kept taking them to that thing, and it would like fill up that meter.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, if you filled it up, you'd get like an upgraded sword.
Like, it's been a year or two since I've actually sat down and played it again.
Likewise, it's been a few years since I played it. I forgot about the Yoshi thing until you brought that out. And Kirby, yeah, that's fucking crazy. I forgot about both of those things. There's so many little things in that game. I really enjoy that game. I love that you can use the shield to like push spiky guy. Like just all those little nuances they put into it. You know what I mean? I love when you can see a temple, but you can't figure out how to get to it yet.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things that Zelda's always been good at.
Yeah.
It's like, I see what I have to do, but I'm not entirely sure how I have to do it.
Yeah.
And then you'll come across something later and you're like, oh, duh, that thing from earlier.
Yeah, there's tons of backtracking and stuff like that. And the boss fights are really good in it.
The boss fight, they're a little easy. I really like the one where you have to fight the bird on top of the tower, though.
Oh, yeah. I like the... Wasn't there one where there's like a genie in a bottle?
Yeah.
And you have to pick the bottle up and
throw it? You have to
pick
up the bottle with like the power bracelet and throw it. And the one thing that like... And that's one of the things that like... Fuck, I forgot the point I was about to make. You can edit this part out.
It was the bird? You said something about the bird in the tower. We were talking about all this like clever power.
Oh, the one thing that this game had that like most Zelda games still don't have is you could jump. There was there was an item to jump.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you play like Minish Cap, it's got like the cape, but like
I really like the jumping thing too, because there's parts where like you need it. Like it's and I that added a new like I didn't care as much for the 2D parts. Like or not the 2D parts, but the side scroller
parts.
I thought
where
that was kind of tacky.
Like, jump on Goombas.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of like okay, Mario.
Yeah, it was like, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah. But the jumping on the overworld I thought was really cool. Yeah. It now I've lost my train of thought. There was something else. Another thing I thought was that I don't think they've ever done since was the items that like the bad guys would drop. Like they would drop like a Triforce and it would make you really strong. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Or they would drop like an acorn and it would make you like run. It was like you got a star in Mario or something for
a
minute.
I totally forgot about
that. And no other Zelda game has ever done that.
Did you ever play the Oracle games?
I played one of them. They were kind of like, seasons.
They were like, basically, they took like the Link's Awakening's graphics and then they made like whole new games out of it. It was like Capcom's first stab at a Zelda game. And then they went on to make Minish Cap, which was a really great game. But like those first two were like the Oracle games, I'm not a huge fan of.
So I played, and that's part of the thing I was concerned about with doing Link's Awakening, is because I think I played Oracle of Seasons more recently than I played Link's Awakening.
And they kind of, like, they do run together a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they are very similar in, like, style and appearance.
I like when they go off the, I like when they go away from the formula with Zelda and they try new things. Like, I love...
Well, that's what Link's Awakening totally is.
Absolutely, right. Like, it's... So what I said it was, like, is in my top five for sure. Like, my top three Zelda games would have been Link to the Past, Link Between Worlds, and Link's Awakening. Until Breath of the Wild came out. I'm like... And I hate to put a 3D game in front of a 2D game because I'm a 2D through and through fanboy. I'm like, fucking Breath of the Wild is just too goddamn good.
Too good.
It has to go there. But Link's Awakening, like, and again, maybe it's a nostalgia thing because I had it as a kid. I don't know, but I'm so enthralled by that game. I love the way it looks. I love the way it handles. The item's a pain in the ass, but I don't fucking care. I like the storyline. And it really is like you're playing this dream of Link's where it puts all these weird ass things into it. Like, it is like it is the Mario 2 of Zelda. I know it's Zelda. I don't even consider Zelda 2 a fucking... Zelda 2, the NES one, doesn't even exist in my mind because I've never really played it. I think it sucks.
Every time I tried it, like, every now and then I'll sit down, I'm like, Zelda 2, we're doing it. We're finally doing it. And then I'll get like 5 minutes in and I'm like, this is stupid.
It sucks. All right? And if you're one of those Zelda 2 fanboys, no, you're fucking wrong. It sucks. Link's Awakening is the Mario 2 of the Zelda series. And like, you're right. Like, now the more I think about it, sitting here talking about it, like, it's called Link's Awakening and he's got to wake up this fish. And there's all these little things from other Nintendo games and other like universes dropped into this game. And it is like playing this weird ass dream of Link's.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Like, I just, it's... You know, they didn't have to go to the regular story. They didn't have to put it, like, I don't even know if it falls in the universe anywhere.
It's on the timeline. It's actually on the timeline after the Oracle games. So, like, it's actually the only... Okay, so the Link to the Past Link is the only Link that gets to appear in four games. Because after Link to the Past, it goes to the Oracle games. And then after that, it ends with, like, Link to the Past. So it's kind of a weird... It's a little bit of a weird arc. I'm not one of those people that, like, lives and dies by, like, the Zelda timeline. Because it like, because each game kind of is its own thing.
Yeah.
And, like, connecting them, it's always kind of like, oh, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to put it like that. But all right, we'll go with it. But in this case, it's weird that, like... Okay, so the Link to the Past Link starts by saving Hyrule, and then he goes on these weird adventures on these two islands, and he ends his, like, whole thing with genocide, by, like, just destroying a whole island.
I love that you call it that.
It's kind of what it is.
It is kind of. It is kind of what it is.
He kills all of these people by waking up the windfish.
Yeah.
And he knows he's going to do it, and he doesn't stop himself.
Well, but, like, his alternative is he has to live on that shitty island. like, what are you going to do today? Like, I'll probably go get some bananas and trade them to an alligator for a can of dog food.
Dude, what are you talking about? That sounds like a great day.
Every day. Every day. Every fucking day. That sounds terrible.
I mean... People were living there. People were living there just fine. Think about his life at the beginning of that timeline. He was living in like a one-bedroom house with his uncle. How he was sleeping in the only bed.
That's true.
What a great exit, like, where his uncle was off doing soldier shit, where he just had to fucking stay.
There has to be a point in Link's life where he's like, this world's not worth saving. This sucks. Like, I don't want to live like this anymore.
I live in a one-bedroom house with my uncle.
Like, once it hit Ocarina and he was like a kid. But even then, like, he lives
in a treehouse.
Yeah, but all the other kids make fun of him and hate him.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Yeah. Like, he's bullied by everybody. Like, fuck that.
He wasn't bullied by everyone. He was bullied by Mido.
Yeah, well.
And then everyone else was kind of like, oh, hey, buddy, what's up? Oh, you're the one without... Like, they didn't, like, treat him as one of them, but they didn't treat him shitty.
He should have just joined Ganon. Should have just tagged up and been like, let's just take over the world together. I'd play that game.
If that's the next Zelda game where, like, Link becomes, like...
Link tags up with Ganon.
Dude, I'd play that game. I'd play the fuck out of that game.
Yeah, and they have to stop, like, an even more powerful... But Ganon is, like... And again, and I love the fact that Link's Awakening doesn't include Ganon. And I like Ganon, too. Like, I love Bowser more than... Like, I love Bowser. But Bowser's such a...
Bowser's a cartoon character.
Bowser's a goofball, right? Ganon comes across as, like, a badass.
I always have so much problem with, like, the tone around Ganon. I think the only game that's really nailed it is the Wind Waker.
I can't remember what he was like in the Wind Waker. I've played Wind Waker, but it's been a long time.
Wind Waker, he has motivation. He kind of has, like, reasons for doing the thing. Like, but if you look at Ganon in, like, I don't know, Twilight Princess, he's just, like, generic bad guy doing generic bad guy shit.
Sure. But he's...
And he's that last boss, that's a cool boss fight. But it's bad guy doing bad guy shit. So it's cool seeing, like, the games where they're like, oh, let's not use Ganon this game.
Yeah.
And we have, like... And we'll write, like, a new scenario. And right. In those games, there's always something interesting and new. Like, Majora's Mask. It's like, instead of Ganon being evil, it's like, okay, well, there's this ancient evil mask.
Right.
And the moon's going to crash into the world. Or Link's Awakening is like, all right, you got to get off this island. But here's the thing. By doing it, you kill everyone.
You've basically called Link Hitler.
Yeah,
is Link, basically what you've done.
Link is Hitler, but he also saved, like, he saved Hyrule, he saved those two islands. I think he gets one.
So he can wipe away one island.
He gets one genocide.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna fucking wipe all of you out so I can go back and save the other ones. So you guys have to go. It's a fucking good game. Like, I mean, I have to assume almost everybody's played it. If you haven't played it and you look at it and you're like, it's fucking Game Boy. It probably sucks. It doesn't suck. Like, the original Mario Bros. For Game Boy, Super Mario Land or whatever the fuck it's called, it sucks. Like, you don't have to play it.
I didn't mind Super Mario Land.
It's, yeah, but it's not good. Like, as I owned it as a kid, it's not good, though. Like,
yeah,
it's not,
it was
like
a
Link's...
great game to play, like, while you were at the dentist.
It was
something.
Cool to have portable Mario.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But even then, once Mario 2 came out, then you were like, oh, there we go. Like, that's... Yeah. But Link, like, there is no crappy Link on the Game Boy. They just went right to this really good one. And I don't care what anybody says.
They could have so easily just given us such a scaled back Zelda.
Yeah, they totally could have. They could have done like a fucking, like, just like the original Zelda or the Zelda 2. The crappy one.
Yeah.
They could have done one of those two and just called it like Zelda 3 and put it on
Your
the Game Boy.
Your hate for Zelda 2 makes me so
It fucking sucks.
It makes me smile.
The game fucking sucks. I don't care. But it stands, like, for my money, like, if, like, for me, it goes, I don't, I don't care. It goes Link to the Past. Then it goes Breath of the Wild. And then Link Between Worlds, Link's Awakening, and Wind Waker are the five best Zeldas.
I wouldn't disagree with you too hard on that.
No.
I'd put Majora's Mask up there, though.
Oh, yeah, okay. But you wouldn't put Ocarina there.
I'd put Majora's Mask ahead of Ocarina.
Yeah, suck it, Ocarina
like,
fans.
I don't hate Ocarina. We've had this discussion before. Yep. I feel it's a very solid game, but I feel like Majora's Mask took it in a new, like, it took it in a new, weird, interesting place.
Sure.
Whereas, like, Ocarina was like, look at how big of a Zelda game we can make on this hardware, you guys. Look, ooh, mountains, rivers.
Ocarina is almost as bad as Zelda 2.
Now I'm just trolling.
It's just, fuck it. But I love, I just, give me my 2D Zeldas. Don't accept Zelda 2. But, like, don't fuck around. I love it.
I'd love to see a new 2D Zelda game on the Switch.
Me too, man. I would love that.
I feel like if they gave us that before the next big 3D Zelda, Link, that would be so cool.
100%. Link Between Worlds was probably my game of the year the year it came out.
Dude,
I loved that game.
I was so skeptical. I was so skeptical of that game going in because
Me too.
I'm like, oh, they just like remix this same world. It's just a sequel. And then I played it and I was like, oh, no, they like... This is one of the most creative games I've ever played.
Yeah, man. I would love that, too. Give us a fucking Link's Awakening sequel. Find out the island hasn't been destroyed or something. He has to go back to the island. Link's Reawakening. Or, like, a remake of it. Like, a remake of it, I think, with, like, some better controls and stuff would be really, really cool.
Or, like, use those, like, extra buttons that we have now.
Yeah. It's,
Well, I know that Greco, who did the N64 3DS ports.
Yeah.
I know that they're working on something right now, and a lot of people are thinking it might be a Link's Awakening port.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be sweet.
Dude, that game is like, people love that game. It gets a lot of love. Like, it really, really does. Everybody knows it, and I think almost everybody knows it anyway. It's a really good game. I don't know a lot of people that hate that game.
Link's Awakening?
Yeah. You know, it's really... Like, I played it a few years ago on my 3DS, and it stood up. It's a good game. It could use some help, like you said, but...
I would love to see it, like, again, I would love to see a remaster of it. Like, just fix those little few things, and it would be such a good game.
Give us our Game Boy Classic. Put fucking Link's Awakening on
Nintendo,
it.
Nintendo, Game Boy Classic.
Quit fucking around, Nintendo. Like, oh no, we gotta roll out another voice app for the phone. Fucking jerk offs. Okay. What were you gonna say?
I do not care about the voice app for the thing. Like, my brother's always like, you should install it. Then we can talk. We play. And then I'm like, dude, I just call you and we talk.
Grow up, Bradley. I know you're listening to this. Fucking grow up. Okay. I'm out of things to say about Link's Awakening.
I think I am too.
Okay. It's a good game.
Great game.
What would you give it out of 10?
Out of 10? 7.5, 8.
I was gonna say,
I'd say a 7.7.
I was going to say 7. It's as good as it is. I admire the job they did with what they had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously not the main console Zelda's, but to this day, it is probably the game I'm the most impressed by. As an adult now, especially looking back, it's the game
absolutely.
I'm the most impressed by with what you had to work with, what you were able to accomplish.
Oh, absolutely.
It truly blows me away. I'm like, that's Nintendo. That's just fucking Nintendo. Squeezing every last fucking drop they can get out of their fucking weak hardware. Like they do over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, they, like, by the time Link's Awakening came out, they more or less had figured out the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Like, again, it starts, the Game Boy was like, oh, this is for Alleyway and Dr. Mario and just shit like that.
Yeah.
And by the end, they're like, oh, we've really figured out how to maximize.
They put some crazy shit on the, like, did you ever play into the Donkey Kong lands on Game Boy?
I played the first one, I think. There was three on the Game Boy, wasn't there?
I think so, yeah. They were hard to figure out at times. Like, I found those almost a little too much going on to try to use that fucking weird screen.
On the Game Boy Color, I could play that. Not on a normal Game Boy. It was too... Like, I just remember thinking, like, I can't see what's happening
here. Now you're getting greedy, trying to get that much onto that fucking screen. Now you're getting a little greedy. But stuff like Link's Awakening is just... Like I said, to this day, I'm impressed by that game. And I'm like, if you haven't played it, I'm sure you've played it, but if you haven't played it in a long time, it's on the 3DS for like $5, I think.
Yeah, that's what that's when I played it, how I played it last time.
Play it. Fucking go get it. It's good. Spend your money on that instead of spending it on fucking Zelda 2. Again, that fucking fart of a game. Okay, good enough. Thanks for coming over and nerding out with me, buddy.
All right, thanks for having me.
Grow up, Bradley. And that's going to do it for episode 15 of Remember the Game, you guys. Thank you so much for listening, like always. Mark, thank you so much for coming over. We're going to have to do some more episodes soon. I love having you on the show. And like I mentioned off the top, you guys, my download numbers are just slowly but very gradually increasing, and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much for anyone that's listening. If you like it, please leave me a good review. Please tell somebody. Let's spread the word of Remember the Game, and let's become the biggest nerds out there. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. I will be back next week with another episode of Remember the Game. Go play some video games, you guys. Take it easy.